This morning, I want us to study about the connector. The connector. When we think of traffic, do you ever hear the traffic report on the radio of big cities? Or if you see in movies sometimes and they're given a traffic report for a city in, on a movie or TV show or something, they'll talk about, there's an accident on the 104 connector or something of that nature. Well, what do they mean by that? A connector is simply something that connects one thing to another thing, isn't it? So a lot of times we're talking about a bridge maybe, or a section of road that connects two other highways, something of that nature. That's what a connector really is. It's a connection between one thing and another thing. I know in working with electronic stuff, a lot of times you have little connectors where you connect two wires together and they've got it so that it's easy, so you don't have to strip the wires and do all of that and twist them together and tape them and put the little cap on them and all of those things. They've got now where some of them just plug right into each other. They've already got the ends of the wires fixed. And others I've seen where you just put the wires through there and then you close it down and it's got a little piece of metal that cuts through into the metal part of the wire and makes the connection. But it connects those two things and it gives power from one place to another. Being a connector is an important task. But what are we connecting? Well, we need to be connecting people to Jesus, don't we? If you want to look in your songbooks, I know we've sung this song at times, but if you look at song number 92, it talks about the importance of our job as being connectors. If we're going to be a friend to Jesus, and if we're going to truly be a friend to those around us, we're going to have to connect them to Jesus. The song says, "When in the better land, before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls may be, if any lost one there should cry in deep despair, you never mentioned him to me. You never mentioned him to me. You helped me not the light to see. You met me day by day and knew I was astray, yet never mentioned him to me." You know, if we had a friend who had helped us to get $1 million, I know that takes quite an imagination, but if we could imagine that a friend helped us to become a millionaire, wouldn't we want to tell other people about that? Sure. If we had a friend that helped us get a great deal on a car, or a house, or any number of other things, well, we tell everybody about that friend. Well, we have a friend who saved us from our sins, who's gone to prepare a place for us in heaven so we can spend eternity there with Him and with His Father. Why are we not as excited about that as we are about a deal on a car, or for that matter, a deal on a watch, or, sometimes it's, I found this for $1.05, and at the other store it was $1.15. Woo, 10 cents. And we've got somebody who's our Savior, who died for us, and we don't want to tell people about that. Don was telling me the other day she went to a meeting with some other mothers, and they were talking about how the gas had gotten cheaper up here in Butler. So they live down in Gilbertown area. They drove two vehicles all the way up here to Butler to fill them up, and they'd save 5 cents or 2 cents or something like that. They said, well, that's great. They spent $6 to save 50 cents. But then people will think, it's this great deal, and they'll tell everybody about it, even when it's not a great deal. But they'll still tell everybody. But we have something that truly is a great deal. We have the greatest friend that there could be in Jesus, and we don't want to tell anybody about Him. We don't want anybody to know we're friends with Him. To the point where when somebody finally asks us, well, don't you go to church up in such... You found me out like I'm a great criminal because I go to church somewhere. And we finally will, you want some sometime? but why aren't we the ones engaging in the conversation? You never mentioned him to me. The next couple of verses tell us what we ought to be doing. He says, "Oh, let us spread the word where'er it may be heard. Help groping souls the light to see, that yonder none may say, you showed me not the way, you never mentioned him to me." Wouldn't it be nice if when we stood there on judgment day, there was no one that we had known in this life who could say, "You never told me." Now, I'm betting that almost all of us, there'd be somebody that could say, "Hey, you know, you haven't mentioned him to me." Think about who those people are in your life today. And think about a way that you can approach them and share with them about your friend Jesus. The kids have a little book. I picture me with my friend Jesus. And it goes through about how, you know, Jesus wants me to help people that are hurt, and how, you know, all these little things throughout the day. But it's always with Jesus. And we need to think about Jesus is right with us all day, throughout the day, every day. And can you imagine with one of your physical friends, and you went somewhere together, and you're meeting people all through the day, and you just go about pretending that this friend isn't standing there? Eventually, the friend, you know, somebody you meet is going to say, "Well, who is this? Oh, well, I forgot all about this." But Jesus is our friend, and as we go through the day and we meet people, why would we not introduce them? It's the perfectly natural thing to do. He goes on in the third verse of the song to say, "A few sweet words may guide a lost one to his side, or turn sad eyes on Calvary. So work as days go by, that yonder none may cry, you never mentioned him to me." We might say, "Well, I've done pretty good so far." Well, good. Keep working at it, though. We can't say, "Well, I've told everybody that I know right now, so I'm done." No, every time I meet somebody new, there's a new somebody that I haven't told, that I need to find a way to tell that individual and to share it with them. Just a few sweet words. It doesn't take a whole 175-page dissertation. Just a few sweet words to invite them to come study with us, or to come have a study with them, or to ask them if they'd be interested in a Bible tract, or to ask them if they'd be interested in receiving our house to house and get their name and address for that. All sorts of things that we can do. All sorts of things to just connect somebody with Jesus. Now, obviously, we're not going to be like the story of Bubba. And I may have told some of you this story before. It was a big story when I was a teenager to tell this story about this fellow named Bubba who knew everybody. And so his friend said, "You really know everybody?" "Oh, yeah, I know everybody." He said, "Well, I bet you don't know the governor." And so they went to the White House, to the governor's mansion, and sure enough, the governor came right out and said, "Oh, look, Bubba, come on in. And we were just fixing to sit down to dinner. You come in and join us. And bring your friend there too." And so they went in, and sure enough, they got to talking about all the things they'd done together, Bubba and the governor. "Well, you do know the governor." "Well, I bet you don't know the president." So they go to the White House in Washington, D.C., and you know, the security guards even, they're saying, "Oh, well, hey, Bubba, come on in. The president's waiting for you. He's right there in the Oval Office. Just go right on in." And he goes right in and talks to the president, knows the president. He said, "Wow, you know a lot of folks now." But that's just in the United States. I bet if we left the country, went somewhere else, you wouldn't know. And so finally, they go all the way, and they go to Rome, and they want to see the Catholic Pope. He said, "I bet you don't know that fella." And so sure enough, they get there, and the Pope has given his big speech to the group. And his friend looks around, and Bubba's gone. And he starts asking around, and they say, "No, I hadn't seen him. And then a little while later, out comes the Pope onto the little balcony where he talks to all of his folks. And Bubba's standing there right next to him. And finally, somebody standing next to him, he starts saying, "You know that fellow, you know?" And somebody says, "Who is that guy standing up there?" And you mean you don't know who that is? He said, "No, who is that standing next to Bubba?" So He knew Bob. But you know, maybe we're not like that. We don't know everybody. But the people we do know are our responsibility to tell about Jesus. Jesus knows who everybody is, but because he's not living here on earth anymore, we have to introduce them to him. And he already knows everything about them, but they may not know anything about him. He knows how many hairs they have on their head. He knows everything they know. He knows where they're going to live every day of their life, what they're going to eat every day of their life, when they're going to die. And more importantly, he knows, with so many of them, that they're lost. And they need to have a relationship with him so that he can save them. But we need to be the ones who make that introduction. Now, I promised that I would keep it short, so let's just look at a couple of verses. We'll start with Ephesians 2. This is the scripture that was read for our scripture reading, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Let's even back up to verse 11 to get the whole gist of what Paul is talking about here. He says, "Wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." So he's saying, you know, we're Gentiles, we weren't Jews. That's what he says here. Then he goes on in verse 12 to say, "That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." And you know, if he stopped right there, that would be a pretty dismal picture, wouldn't it? Here you are with no hope and without God in the world. Strangers. Not knowing Christ. Without Christ. Oh, what a sad state that would be. And that's exactly where most of the people we meet every day are. Even many of those that we run across, those who claim to be Christians, but they're still without Christ. They've got plenty of man-made religion. They've got plenty of church doctrines stuffed into them, but they're without Christ. They're full of all this other stuff, but they don't really have Christ. They don't really have hope, and they don't really have God. And we meet them every day, everywhere we go. He goes on then to say in verse 13, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." So what he tells us is, it doesn't matter how far away you were, the blood of Christ can bring you close to God. But unless somebody tells them, they'll never know that. Many of them will continue going on thinking they're okay, thinking that it's all right to just go to the church of their choice, not realizing that they need to go to the church that Christ built. We talked about that a little bit in the class with the young men today, about the church that Jesus built. That's a special thing. Not just anybody can build the church that Jesus built. He built it. And it's built by His standards. But then, of course, our role in life, our goal as Christians, beyond, of course, getting ourselves to heaven, that's, of course, first and foremost, I want to make sure that I'm right with God. I had someone come to me the other day and they said, "Well, somebody told me, they said, I may have been called to be a preacher." I said, "Well, if you've been called to be a preacher, then first you better get your life right with God. Because you can't preach and teach to anybody else if you're not on your way to heaven yourself. What are you going to tell them?" I know when I was at Future Preacher Training Camp a couple of years ago, there was a young man there who was working up a lesson on how to become a Christian. And as he worked up that lesson and studied those things, he got to realizing that he wasn't a Christian yet. He'd been going to the church all these years, but he'd never obeyed the gospel. And so before he was going to got ready to preach that lesson, he said, I've got to do this. Nobody's going to listen to me telling them how to become a Christian if I haven't done it myself. Nobody goes to the poor homeless guy sitting on the side of the road to find out how to become a millionaire. And he may have all sorts of ideas to tell you about how to become a millionaire, but nobody goes and asks him, how do you become a millionaire? People go to people like Bill Gates, who's done it many times over. Now, how did you become a millionaire? Well, that's the kind of thing that we've got to realize with salvation. Nobody is going to come to us when we're as lost and as deep in sin as they are and say, you know, what's your secret? Because if we're as lost and in sin as they are, we don't have a secret. We don't have anything to share. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus gives the Great Commission to the apostles. I know we've read it before, again and again and again we've read it. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus gives the apostles that great commission to go everywhere and preach and teach and convert people to Him. That's still our responsibility today, to go everywhere and tell people about Jesus. Someone told us, we wouldn't be here if someone hadn't told us. We wouldn't be Christians if someone hadn't taught us. Because even if somebody tells us, well, I'm a Christian and it's great being a Christian and I just love following Jesus, and then that's all they ever said, well, that's not going to really help us a whole lot, is it? They've got to teach us how to get there. And somebody had to teach us. Now with some of these young folks, it was their parents that taught them. With some of you, it may have been a relative of some, you know, cousin or someone, brother or sister, child maybe even. And with some of you, it was someone who you met and became friends with, friends enough that they loved you enough and cared about you enough to teach you about Jesus. But the question that we have to ask ourselves is, then since someone was kind enough and friendly enough to me to do that to me and for me, am I going to share that kind of friendship with others, or am I going to keep it to myself? You know, if somebody knows where treasure is hidden, they may keep that to themselves because they don't want to share it, because they know, well, you know, if I have to share this, then there won't be as much for me. But the wonderful thing about God's grace is that no matter how many people we share it with, there's still just as much for us. So we need not ever be afraid that by sharing our salvation, that there won't be enough for us. There always will. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you need to become one. Jesus wants to be your friend. And as a friend, He wants to save you and take you to live with Him forever. But He can't do that unless you're willing to let Him. You first got to hear. Jesus said in Matthew 11:15, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." We need to hear. And also Acts 13 and verse 39 says, "And by Him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." In fact, not only the law of Moses, but no other religion that there is, no other system that there is, can justify us before God. Only Jesus Christ can do that. But then we must also repent. Luke 24 and verses 46 and 47. He says, "And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." That needs to keep being preached among all the nations. Repentance is so important. But then we must also be willing to confess. Philippians 2:9-11 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." We need to confess. One way or another, we will. Then we must also be baptized. Colossians 2:11-12 tells us, "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of God, of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead." You see, those folks tell us that baptism is a work and you can't be saved by work, but this verse tells us baptism is faith. We aren't saved by the act of getting dunked in water. If that was the case, everybody that ever went swimming and dove in the pool would be saved. We are saved by our faith in the operation of God. That's where it comes into contact, is that baptism. That's where our faith shows. And then, of course, we must continue to live faithfully. Revelation 3:3 says, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast." Hold fast. We're going to hold fast. If you're here this morning and you've not become a Christian, you need to do so. If you are a Christian, but perhaps you haven't been holding fast, or perhaps you've been holding too tightly, you haven't been sharing with others, you need to make the determination that I'm going to get out there and tell my friends. If you're really their friend, aren't you going to tell them? Why, oh, why would we not? We need to tell people about Jesus. He would tell them himself if he was here, but he's put us in charge of that job. And we'll be judged accordingly. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.